Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. It's time to get your Bible and grab a cup of coffee. We are going to be in the book of John. This is Gilbert from Red Bluff, California.
Hi, this is Andy from Vancouver, Washington.
This is Brett from Vancouver, Washington.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was the life, and the life was the light of men. He was the true light, and He was in the beginning with God. He was in the world, and the world was made through Him. He came to His own, but His own did not receive Him. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in His name.
We're in the book of John, chapter 1, starting in verse 1, and the context is 1 through 13. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the Greek, in RK, in the very beginning, in the top, and the Logos was with God, and the Logos was God. But let me read it, the Greek, in such a way that you'll understand that word, Logos. In the beginning was the Logos, is really how we say it. The logo is an image, you know, like the logo on your jacket or whatever. But this is in the nominative. So this Logos is actually capitalized in the Bible. It's talking about Jesus. In the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. In the beginning was the Word, the Logos, and the Logos, this image of God, was with God, and this image of God was God. So that's the first context. And notice how it's stated three times, this Logos. What do you think it's saying just by that? In the beginning, the Logos was, Jesus was, and He was with God, and He was God. That explains a whole lot.
That kind of turns the circle, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Jesus was in the beginning. Jesus was God, so Jesus is God.
But He was also with God.
And He was with God. So that tells you that
He's a threefold cord, for one thing.
Yes.
And it's not soon broken. The same was with God and was in the very beginning with God. I'm going to read you something. We're not going to go through this in any other time, but one reason I'm going to read this now is because the creation story was something I learned right off the bat when I was young in the Lord. And within a year of my first being in the Lord, I learned this story about creation. And yes, scientists are right to a point that the earth is older than 6,000 years. But billions and billions, like Carl Sagan said, because he used marijuana. He used to pen write in another name. He didn't tell you it was Carl Sagan, but he used to write about his drug trips. And he got this information doing drug trips. The earth is much older than 6,000 years, so the Christians make it a mockery on one end and say it's only 6,000 years old. You can't prove that in the Bible, but you can sure prove what we're going to read. There's something different that the Jewish people know about because they read the Old Testament in Hebrews, don't they? In the Hebrew language. The Jews know this, that the earth is older. That's where you get these brilliant scientists. That 6,000-year thing just doesn't fit. But it's not billions. It's not millions. Well, we won't tell you what it is, but it's definitely not 6,000 years old. I'm going to read in 2 Peter chapter 3. It says, "This is now, my beloved, a second letter that I write to you. In these I stir up your sincere mind by reminder." So Peter is stirring up their sincere mind by reminder that you should remember the words spoken before by the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior through your apostles, knowing this first of all, in the last days mockers shall come with mockery. Well, we don't have any mockers today, do we? Okay, we do. So that took care of that one. And walking after their own lusts and saying, where's the promise of his presence? You know, it's been told for years that Jesus is coming, but where is it? For since the fathers fell asleep, all continues thus from beginning of creation. For this they willingly forget. So everything's been the same since the creation. Right? And the Christians said that that's only been 6,000 years since the creation story. Does that seem to make any sense at all? It's only been 6,000 years since creation?
Back in, oh, I mean, a while back ago, I used to think that it was, okay, well, this is what our Christian top scientists think, so I got to agree with them. But that does not agree with the Bible.
It doesn't. And even science doesn't agree with that.
Exactly.
True science doesn't.
True science
doesn't. It's older than 6,000 years. But the billion years, they're trying to prove that accidents can make something perfect. Well, you're going to be making accidents and you're still never going to get life coming out of rocks or dirt. You're not going to have life come out of it. Anyway, so mockers will come and with their mockery, walking after their own lusts and say, where is the promise of his presence? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue thus, the same thing from beginning of creation. For this they willingly forget that the heavens were from of old. It's not just 6,000 years old. And this is the New Testament. This is 2 Peter. The heavens have been from of old. And earth compacted out of water and through water by the word, by this image of God, by which means the world that then was, being overflowed with water, was wiped away, perished. And that word apolutrosis is to wipe it away. There was nothing left of it. And in another place in the Bible, it said it became tohu wabohu. It became waste and wild. No living thing was living on it. Something happened. And that expression is twice in the Bible, but we won't get into that right now. I'm just telling you some things we learned early on that you're probably scratching your head thinking, well, 6,000 years doesn't fit, and millions or billions and billions of years, that doesn't fit either. That sounds, it's almost hopeless sounding. But by means the world that then was being overflowed with water was wiped away, perished. It perished, apolutrosis, wiped away, slate wiped away clean. But the present heavens and earth, which we know began because you can trace Jesus' lineage back to We had read this already in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and especially in Luke chapter 3, that Jesus' image has been here since Adam. That's been here 6,000 years ago. It was 4,000 years from 1,000 years from Adam is Enoch. Then add another 1,000 years, Abraham. Then another 1,000 years, David's right there. So there's 3 millennia, and then Jesus, 4 millennia, 4,000 years for the Old Testament. Then you get to us today, we're at 2,000, we're at 6,000 years. That's the present world. But the present heavens and the earth, right now, Adam to Jesus to us, this present world, you can track the lineage all the way back by DNA to a man and a woman, back 6,000 years ago, are reserved against the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. And that will happen at the year 2000, the seventh millennium, the 7,000 years from Adam. It'll be changed. And in Genesis, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And there's actually 7 years in Hebrew that say this, and we use 10 words to express this, but 7 words in the original Hebrew language. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then chapter 1 of Genesis, verse 2, and the earth had become tohu wabohu, it had become formless and void. And there's a place that shows how it became formless and void, and the world that then was perished. But the present heavens and earth that you find in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, is only 6,000 years old. We don't know exactly how old it was, but when I started studying creation and knew all the scriptures that talk about it, it talks about God being our God for 1,000 generations. And this is back in the Psalms when it was written. So I started looking at the lifespans of men back at the time of Adam, and they were living to almost 1,000 years. For the first 1,600 years up until the flood of Noah, men's longevity was just shy of 1,000 years, isn't it, Andy?
Well, Methuselah was 967, so yeah, that was the boldest guy.
And he was the last one, and his name meant, when he died, it will come. Speaking of the great flood.
It will come.
When he dies, it will come. That's what Methuselah is translated. His name forecast men were going to start living shorter and shorter and shorter lifespans until we hit maximum of 120, which is the same yet today. But he says, you have been our God for 1,000 generations. What if you equate that and you drop that? If you go backwards, you can count, and I've done it when I did the creation teaching, and I did charts and showed people about how long a generation was. But if we use those generations as living 1,000 years, the earth could easily be well over 100,000, 120,000 years old, at least as a minimum, and maybe as short as around 70,000 years, somewhere into the 100,000, maybe several 100,000 years, but certainly not billions and trillions, and certainly not 6,000 years or 7,000 years. So there was a world that then was. Well, where do you think demons came from? And there was a time when hell was set on fire and it wasn't there. What happened to these people? Where did demons come from? Well, when you understand the creation story, a lot of these questions are answered. And by the way, you'll never find angels with wings in the Bible. Remember back in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, there was a place in there where they saw at when they went to the gravesite. We just got through reading that. And it looked like a man, but it was in shining garment. And he looked different, but no wings are mentioned, zero. And he was an angel of God, a messenger, angelos in the Greek. And in the Hebrew, the word messenger could either be a person or it could be an angel. In the New Testament, an angelos is a heavenly being. And at one place, Jesus was, He's known as the angel of God. It doesn't show anywhere. A friend of ours named Laura, she challenged me 1 year, and I heard from her that she has gone through every place angel is found in the body and never found them to have wings. But what has wings, Andy?
A heavenly creature?
Yeah.
Cherubs.
Cherubim.
Cherubim.
And seraphim also, but never an angel. So guess what I did? You probably did the same thing yourselves. The next year you read all the way through the Bible, you're looking. Every time you see an angel, nope, no wings on that one. Oh, no wings there. I've never seen Gabriel. Nope, I didn't see wings there. And so all these pictures of angels, they're probably trying to draw a cherub, but one slight problem. How about the number of wings?
They missed it.
They missed it by about four wings.
Yes.
They give them only two, and cherubim have six wings. With two, they cover themselves. With two, they fly. So all those pictures are a chubby baby with, they stuck bird's wings on.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That's a man's idea. Isn't that crazy?
They call them baby angels.
And, you know, there is even a belief that, I've heard this, that when we die, we become angels and we get wings. And that was a thing in there for a long time, that angels are people who made it. But they are, God makes distinctions on heavenly creatures and earthly creatures.
And they actually, that belittles man, because men are made in God's image to be his sons and his children, joint heirs with Jesus, who has the rank of an eight. And Satan has a rank of six. He fell, but he still seemed to have a higher rank than the angels, because Michael, the highest angel, called the archangel, the top rank in the angel category, the general angel, you know, if you want to use generals today or privates or sergeants, he's the top ranking angel. And when he was vying for Moses' body, he told Lucifer, who was a six, he had to say, "The Lord rebuke you." He called upon Jesus, who is a rank eight. And he says that we actually are joint heirs with Christ when we finally overcome everything. And we're always going to be juniors to Jesus. Jesus is the Lord of Lords. So there's a lot of interesting things floating around, but when you really read your Bible and you go through it and you don't let a denomination sway you, some things just do not hold up to the light of the Word. We're in John. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. But God has not finished using this word logos or logos. We noticed in Matthew, God shows us that Jesus is the King, because it uses that lineage at the very beginning and shows us he is the King in the kingdom called the Kingdom of the Heavens. And we had to correct ourselves, because at first I kept saying the kingdom of heaven, didn't I?
Yeah, we all did.
Yeah, and then somebody told Andy, somebody did a study on it, and who was that person? You remember?
Oh, yeah, Dan from Bakersfield.
Dan Contreras. Opened our eyes to that.
And he told me that 3 days before we got together, and I told you, and you go, "Who told you that?" And I go, "Dan Contreras." Thanks, Dan.
Yeah, thank you, Dan. And yet, Andy, so he goes back and looks, and it's in the plural number.
Everywhere.
Yeah. The kingdom of the heavens, when it's in Matthew talking about the kingdom of the heaven, don't forget the S, it's plural. And we know there are three heavens. And look at, in the beginning was the Word, here's three. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God.
I'm waiting for Andy to say it.
What?
You shared this with me a while back ago about this, and the Word was God.
Yeah.
In the Greek. It switches it. In the Greek, it's not the Word was God. God was the Word.
So read it like it says.
I'll read it like it says. It says...
And you're looking at the Greek, so...
I'm looking at the Greek, and not to get too fancy with it, but just to... It was an interesting point. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and God was the Word.
In the pans, it says, in the beginning, the Word was.
The Word was.
And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning, the Word was.
Mm-hmm.
Not in the beginning, like the song said, in the beginning, the Word was. Well, we should really change that. We'll correct that. Maybe we'll sing it again and adjust that. The Word was. You know, that's how much we've learned because that song came out about 40 years ago. And we've even changed songs. One was, Our Feet Shall Stand in Thy Gates, O Jerusalem. And you looked at the scripture, Our Feet Stand Within, like right now.
Already there.
Our feet stand within.
So there's some way that we get there.
Yeah.
And we're there.
And you don't learn that the first time reading through the Bible, but as you keep going through it, all of a sudden you get it. Wait a minute. It's not like... And there's another place we started looking at the foundation truths, and we looked at faith. And in Hebrews 6, 1 and 2, I think it's verse 1 even, it says faith toward God. That word toward is not a toward. It's epi. It's on. Faith, repentance away from dead works, faith on God. Our feet stand in thy gates, O Jerusalem.
Because Tor didn't got there yet.
It's like you're always constantly trying to get
some, and you're here. You're on this
faith on God, and here you're already on it. If you look around, all of a sudden you look around, you're going like, oh,
the relationship change. Really, I mean, on God, where it's like you're saying, always towards something.
You're not there yet.
You're not there.
Yeah.
In the beginning, the Word was, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We haven't read 2 through 13, have we yet? John chapter 1, 2 through 13.
The same was in the beginning with God. All things became through him, and without him nothing became that had become. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness apprehended it not. There came to be a man sent from God. His name was John. The same came for a witness, that he might witness of the light, that all men might believe through him. He was not the light, but came that he might witness of the light. The true light was which coming into the world lights every man. He was in the world, and the world became through him, and the world knew him not. He came to his own possessions, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave the authority to become children of God, even to them that believe unto his name, who were begotten not of bloods, nor of the will of flesh, nor of man's will, but of God.
Did you know the word became is Genesis?
Who were Genesis?
Who were Genesis, born.
Yes.
They were born, Genesis. So here you have Genesis again in the New Testament. And was it back in Matthew where you saw, yes, Genesis is, this word Genesis is all over Abraham to Jesus. Abraham, Genesis, Seth, and so on. Matthew really is the first Genesis story. Matthew chapter 1, it's got Genesis all over it, the birth. Then also read verse 14. It's the next context. And look at that for just a little bit because that word logos is in there again.
And the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us, and we beheld his glory, glory as of an only begotten with the Father, full of grace and truth.
Now that word is in, E-N. And the Logos, or the image, became flesh and tabernacled in us. And we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father. You know, three shows the unity of God, the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. The fourth, Ivan Panin said, the fourth is the world. It's the first thing that's outside of the Godhead. And so this Logos became flesh. It became of the world. So here's the fourth, but it's a fourth view of God, which is Jesus, who took on the form of the Son of Man that we just read about. And he tabernacled in us. So it explains exactly who this Logos is. In the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. And his other name is the Logos, or the Logos. It's like his name, Yahweh, which is his name, but this is his image. This is what he really represents, is the image of God. That's what this book is really putting forth. And he is the creator. All things came into being through him. Without him, there was nothing. In him was life, and life was the light of man, and all things became, or was genesised through him, egeneto. All things egeneto. The genesis came through him. He is the creator that made all things. This word genesis is found 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times in here.
So, real quick, when we're going through this and we go through Matthew, we see the theme there as Jesus the King. We go through Mark, it's Jesus the Servant. Jesus in Luke is Jesus the Son of Man. And so in John, be Jesus the image of God?
He is. He's the Word. And beyond that, too, is he's the Creator.
He is God.
He is God. And there's much more, and he's life, and this life becomes the light of men. And remember, in Matthew, he told us to follow him, and that we are the salt of the earth and the light.
Now, to give Jesus a little credibility in this book, God has made him in the first verse to be God.
Mm-hmm.
And he's made him in the first few verses to be the creator of everything. And that's who's talking when he's talking. Now, he sure didn't say that in Matthew. He sure didn't say that in Mark. He didn't say that in Luke. But he starts this book going, whatever is said in this book is said by God, the creator, Jesus.
He's not only that, but he is the life, and he is the light that lightens every man
that comes into the world.
And until we meet again, may God lead you into all truth.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. Or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. That's P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. Or call us at 360-600-6726. That's 360-600-6726. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together, and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible, because it is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.